Welcome to Hope Is Here. I'm Greg Horn. As you know, we strive to provide hope on every program to encourage people to press into their faith and know that because of Jesus, there's always hope. I know a majority of you all that listen are followers of Jesus, and over the next few programs, I'm going to help you try to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Our guest today is Greg Williams. He has a great website called loveandlordship.com. He speaks all over the country, encouraging people in their faith. He speaks at men's retreats, conducts marriage conferences, and would encourage you to consider him as a speaker as you're planning those events in 2020. And hard to believe that it's already November, but consider him for your next marriage retreat or if you're doing a men's retreat or need a fill-in preacher for a Sunday morning. But last but not least, on a personal note, nobody's been a more loyal friend to me than Greg Williams. And other than my parents, no individual has had more impact on my spiritual growth as a follower of Jesus. Greg's helped me crawl out of a lot of valleys and what seemed like hopeless situations over the past 18 years. He's a guy that I've given permission to speak truth and love to me, and he always backs it up with scriptures to comfort me and grow me. Greg's a husband to Amy for 28 years, father to Lansing, Harrison, and Hayden. I know you're going to be blessed over the next three programs as Greg Williams with Love and Lordship Ministry is going to be with us. Greg, thanks for being here today, man.
Well, thank you, Greg, and it certainly is encouraging to hear you, that introduction. I appreciate your friendship and your encouragement and the opportunity to share a little bit about our ministry and the message the Lord's laid on my heart.
Well, you know, one of the things you said to me a long time ago was, you know, it's one thing to make Jesus your personal Savior, which it all starts there,
yes. But
it's another to make him the Lord of your life. And talk to us a little bit about that difference.
Well, it's interesting, and the Lord continues to do this work in me as I study and as I share. There really is no relationship in which we can be in it with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in which he's not Lord. So when he, by his grace and his sacrifice, saves us, we have to stop and consider, what is he saving us for? And most of us tend to think we get the get out of hell free card and we get to go to heaven forever. And that's wonderful, but it's so much more than that. We literally are saved into a relationship with him. And if he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of all that exists, then the real question is, he's put you in a relationship with him. Are you submitting to him as Lord? And that's a huge part of it. And I see that missing. You know, Greg, that I do men's retreats and I counsel and mentor with a lot of men. I do couples and do a lot of couples. And invariably, almost 100% of them that grew up in the church, that are still going to church, when we begin to break down what God's word says and what Jesus himself said about being Lord and us being a disciple, most of them don't have a clue. They know those terms. They've heard them throughout their life, but they don't have a clue what that really looks like in their life. And so that's a big part of love and lordship. If he's not Lord, then how are we defining and living out everything else in that relationship?
Well, as you've mentored me and coached me through the years, I mean, it all just kind of starts with seeking and really knowing him personally, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. It's interesting. I ask this oftentimes when I'm doing a conference or just speaking one-on-one to people or couples. I would say, how many of you know what Jeremiah 29:11 says? And most of them will either go immediately or I start to quote it, "For I know the plans I have for you." And your audience is probably doing the same thing. Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
I hope in a future. Well, we all want that. And we want it. The best we can have, and we know that God provides the best for us. But when I ask them, have you ever heard Jeremiah 29:12-13? And most of them will go, I don't think so. And I go, well, let me tell you what that says. It says, and you will come to me and you will pray to me and I will hear you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, there God lays out, even under the old covenant, how we are to find him. How are we ever going to have that hope and that future that he has for us if we don't spend any time getting to know him or find him? And salvation gives us that opportunity. But we as disciples have to grow in that. And so most people are all excited about the sermon and the message. It goes, oh, a hope and a future, a good end, an expected end, one translation says. But hardly no one says, but wait a minute. It starts with you praying to the Lord and waiting to hear from him because he's going to listen. Are you listening for his answer, not yours? And then he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Well, and I think one of the things the enemy's done such a great job is getting us to stay so busy in our culture, and a lot of them are good things, but, you know, the Sabbath is almost ignored now in our culture, and unfortunately a lot of people that are followers of Jesus, I've just confessed in an earlier program this week that I had really struggled with that and just started doing that in a few months, and it has made a world of difference over the last few months that I've been able to hear God more clearly, because it talks about that in verse 12, if you call on me, come and pray to me, I will listen to you. And yet, man, when we're busy and tired, it's hard to hear God, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. And you and I've had that discussion a lot, because you've come back to me and say, man, I'm doing it, and I've spent some time, and then you get caught up in the, as you said, we all do, get caught up in the busyness of the world and all those things. And so, I think the two things that stick out to me about the Sabbath, and this is truly about lordship and discipleship, is that God instituted the Sabbath not because he needed rest, but because he knew we would. Mm. And so if we're looking at ourselves and going, yeah, but 8 more hours or 10 more hours a week, I can earn this much more money or get this much more done. And God is saying, but you need to understand that in a fallen world, in a broken world, you're going to need to recoup and recover. And I'm the only one that can really help you do that. So the one principle of the Sabbath is literally the rest, because we're not perfect. We, apart from Christ, we are imperfect and unholy, and we struggle with that. And so our way of doing that, as you said, is let me go do more and accomplish more. And God says, no, the best way to do that is to step back and go, let me have it. Don't worry about what the world says or what it looks like. Trust in me. And the flip side of that is, if we're not perfect and God says we need to take some time to recognize that, on the other side of it, he is holy and perfect. And we need to stop and ponder and meditate on and recognize that. And stopping to rest not only allows us to recover, it allows us to focus on him, which is what we talked about there in Jeremiah 29:12. Stop and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and I will answer you. So we need that in our lives.
Well, one of the things I'm finding out with the Sabbath now doing it, it's kind of like I've been one, by God's grace, and because I had a mom that modeled it, I've tithed ever since I was a kid, a teenager, and I had my first grocery store job, and just have honored that, and I've seen the Lord do much more with me, you know, giving up 10% in my 90 than if I kept 100%.
Yep, same principle.
And the same thing with the Sabbath, you know, yep. When I start trying to give him that one day, and I'm just able to get more done, it seems like even be more efficient. Obviously, you got to do some planning and things. You just don't, you know, just, oh, yeah, well, just, it'll happen. I mean, you have the plan. The Bible talks about that. But he just does more in those 6 days. So I really want to encourage somebody that's listening today, it's just worn out, and say, I want to make him Lord of my life, but, man, I'm just on fumes, to really start figuring out how you, and if you have a family, to make sure that you start making the Sabbath a priority, because it's a game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it is a lordship issue, as I mentioned earlier. It is a lordship discipleship issue. He commanded that. And that's never gone. That's never gone away. Christ died to save us from our sins, to take care of all the sacrifices and all the other rituals that we would have to go through that we no longer have to go through. But the Sabbath principle is one that says, this is for you to get to know me, to recognize who you are and get to know me. And so it fits in everything else, the tithe, our faithfulness, even our love for him. This exhibit isn't interesting that I think it's John 14:15 that says, if you love me, you'll feel really good about me. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And so he now has, because of Christ's gift, he has imparted his Holy Spirit into us. And what we tend to again see is we talk all about that, but we never help people understand, which is what discipleship is all about, what that actually looks like. That means, by faith, you have the Holy Spirit, which you cannot see. It's like the wind. We can't see the wind, but we see the results of it. If you choose by faith to walk with the Holy Spirit, giving from a heart, cheerful heart, honoring the Sabbath, those kind of things, you're going to see, as you mentioned earlier when you said, I tithed and gave, and now you're doing the Sabbath. I promise you, if you will choose it, my flesh's tendency is, well, I'm behind and I'm tired, but I got to do more. And God's biblical mandate and command that if we love him by faith, we will obey him, says you need to stop and rest in me and watch what I can do. And your faith will grow. But if we keep doing it, we miss that opportunity.
Yeah, No, no doubt about it. And, you know, one of the things you've continued to talk to me and challenge me about is just, you know, putting God as a first priority in all things. And I think so many times as followers of Jesus, you know, like I said, maybe we do it in our finances, but I was guilty of not doing the Sabbath. And yet, you know, God's given us a blueprint, but it all just starts in personally putting him first, doesn't it, in every area.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Greg. You mentioned something there that made me think of one of your great friends and mine as well, Brother Wayne Smith. And you've mentioned him several times on this show, and I get a lot of comments when I share your show with others. And, oh, I remember that message. Or, I remember Brother Wayne. And, you know, he used to say he had a message that he would call about the four T's that we give to the Lord. And you hit two of them, time, treasure, talents, and testimony, your life. And every one of them, God has a design and a plan. If he's not Lord, it means you are living in such a way that you think you figured out a better way to do it. Let me say that again. And let me flip it around. If you think you've got a better way to do it, that's how you're living, you're not making him Lord. He literally said in Luke 14 that if you do not make me first in your life, if you have any other thing in your life that takes priority over me. Now, he said it in the original King James that we know, if you do not hate. But as you look at the Greek a little more, you understand he's not saying you have to hate them. He's saying it's a priority. It's an ordering of things. So if you don't put me first in your life, then you cannot be my disciple. And that's what we're supposed to do. Not only are we supposed to be that, but we're supposed to help make others as disciples. And that means that he's also saying, if you're not making me first in your life, then I'm not your Lord. Mm. And that's what I saved you for. And it's not for his sake. It's for our sake. That's when we live the abundant life. And again, that abundance is not defined by the world. It's defined by his kingdom. Mm. And his kingdom is made of loving relationships. The world is made of stuff.
Yeah,
that's the difference in the currencies.
Yeah,
and so his lordship helps us to see the currency of the kingdom, his kingship, your kingdom come, your will be done, your lordship done in our lives as loving relationships is what he's all about.
Well, as you're listening, you know, he talked about those four T's: time, talent, treasures, testimonies. You know, what is the four? I mean, the Lord is speaking to somebody as he's listening right now, whether it's live on the radio here or through a podcast. And, you know, what is it that, you know, the Lord's saying, hey, you know, you're not putting me first with your time or your talent, your treasures, you know, your financial resources, and your testimony, just your life. I mean, everybody's life's a story, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting. That's a great line, because I was sitting here thinking that just nailed it. It really is. When Christ said, first of all authority is given to me in Matthew 28, and then went on to give the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples. And we tend to see that as train up experts and send them out to churches and mission field and everything else. And those are all good things. But in the Greek, that literally means as you go along the way, as you unveil and walk out your story. God has given you a story, a life. Are you living in such a way that it disciples your life itself? Are we supposed to talk about it and tell people the gospel? Yes, but even more so, we're supposed to live it. And that's what Christ being Lord really means. There's a lot of people that he's going to say on that day, we said all these things and we did all these things in your name, but you never knew me. Sorry.
All right. Wow. I hate to cut him off there because it's great stuff, but I want to encourage you to join us tomorrow as we're going to continue our conversation with Greg Williams. We'll encourage you to go check out his website, loveandlordship.com. That's loveandlordship.com. Join us tomorrow as we continue talking with Greg Williams on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.